Take your Bible to maybe a couple of places this morning. I preached a sunrise service outside this morning, and I feel fine, but I don't know. I must have swallowed too much pollen around those peach trees this morning. Beautiful setting, beautiful. Blue Ridge Baptist Church got a beautiful place and right there at that mountain, and it's beautiful. But I inhaled some pollen, I think, or something. But go to Matthew chapter number 28 with me, please. Matthew chapter 28. And then also we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15. All these are Easter or Resurrection Day text. And every pastor is either in the Gospels or are they in 1 Corinthians 15. But yet, I've said this many, many times, you don't come up with a new angle to preach on the resurrection, the cross, the blood of Jesus, the birth of Christ. You just talk about it. Amen. We need to be reminded about it. We need to preach about it. And because I'm glad that the resurrection sealed the gospel. Amen. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So let's read Matthew 28, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." Now, we'll stop here just a minute, and I say this every Easter too, every Resurrection Day. The stone wasn't rolled away to get Jesus out. It was rolled away to get them in. I always remember that. They didn't break him out. He was already gone when they opened it. It was so they could see he had resurrected. Amen. It was for their benefit, not the Lord's. He's already out of there. Verse 3, "His countenance was like lightning," this is the angel, "and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come to the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail." That means all joy, thank God. "And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now, I want to notice verse 11 and on down. I'll bring my message, kind of get it from here. "Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch," some of these soldiers, "came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye," now here's the lie, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." Now may the Lord add his blessings. Now we'll, Lord willing, may be going to 1 Corinthians 15. It's according to how the Lord leads us in this thought. Now, of course, we have Matthew's account of the resurrection. And, of course, in the Gospels, we have different settings of the resurrection. And you compile that all together. All the stories of the resurrection come together very, very, very perfectly. But in Matthew's account here, we find that, again, it was Mary Magdalene. And it's a blessing to me that God used her. One, that God cast out seven devils. God saved out of a life of ungodliness. But God used her to be the one, amen, to find it first. And so I'm going to say something to you this morning. No matter, you say, preacher, I've been a wicked, vile sinner. The Lord can save you and use you. Amen goes right there. Don't say what I've been too bad. I've been too. We've all been too bad as far as bad concerned, but not too bad for the Lord to save us. Amen. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. I mean, in our natural state, we is about as vile as you can get, but not too vile for the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from sin, to save us and to use us. And not only the blood of Christ cleansed me the day I got saved, it keeps me cleansed every day. That's why my position never changes. The blood of Christ never loses its power, never loses its hold. So no matter what, my position in Christ will never change because of Jesus. Not because of me. If I was having to hold out or endure to the end, I'd have given up a long time ago. Can I say something here? I didn't even think my message. But you know what? If we could lose our salvation, everybody here done lost it. Wouldn't none of us still be saved? If we could lose it, we'd already lost it. But I'm thankful, praise God, I'm sealed to the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost, and the blood of Jesus cleanseth, keeps me clean every day. My position in Christ, that is. So we find the resurrection. And I'm thankful that we have a Savior that bodily resurrected. And folks, again, I repeat this. This here separates us from the Buddhist and the Muslims. Amen. The Confucianists. This is what separates Christians from everybody. Everybody else's God is still in the ground. Their body is. Their soul is in hell. Well, you judging them. They didn't trust Jesus. They were their own gods. They were set up as gods. And they're dead, but our God died, but he didn't stay that way. He won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. The grave could not hold him. Hey, folks, by the way, it couldn't even kill him. He dismissed his own spirit. He committed, he said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. What does that mean? He said, all right, you can die now. You can leave now. Hey, nobody killed him. He gave his life. That's what the Bible says. They didn't kill him. He gave his life. Just like he told Pilate when Pilate said, you know what? He said, I got the power to kill you, make your life. He said, you ain't got no power but what God's give you. The only power you got is what's been ordained to you by God. That's the problem with the pride of men. We are what we are by the grace of God. But we have this account. But we believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. We know had Christ died only, we still would be in our sin because he'd still be dead. And a dead God can't save anybody. But he died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. So, now, immediately, get this, immediately after the resurrection, the devil is already on the job. He's already doing his work. And he immediately begins to pour in lies about the resurrection. Now, mind you, Satan, when Christ gave up the ghost, Satan and his cohorts was not having a party. I know there's some songs that talks about it. And sometimes we may put it in. I promise you, Satan and his cohorts was not having a party when Jesus died. They weren't rejoicing because Satan knew if Christ got to the cross, he's lost. And he could not keep him off the cross, and he could not keep him dead. So now he's having to do some legwork. And what he did was he stirred up the hearts of the chief priest and the elders. He stirred up religion. That's where he hit. Satan stirred up religion. These men were leaders. They were religious leaders, and people would believe it. And they gave these soldiers the money and said, here's what you say. In other words, you big soldiers, you strong soldiers. Hey, Pilate told them, said, yeah, set your watch and make it as sure as you can. I promise you, they had the men there to guard it. They had it sealed up. And now these trained professional soldiers was having to say some puny disciples overtook them and got Jesus out. Are there really that amount of money for a man to cower himself down? I guess so. And that was what was told everywhere. And that lie is even believed to this day. To this day. And what gets me is and we'll get over here to 1 Corinthians in a moment. What gets me is the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And Jesus knocked that out of the park. In 1 Corinthians, all the people that saw him, and then he said, above 500 at one time saw him after his passion, after he resurrected. 500 at one time. But yet, the great deceiver, the devil, has still blinded the hearts and the minds of many with this lie right here. That's why many have put Christ on the same playing field and the same level with Muhammad and Confucius and Buddha. He was a good man, but he wasn't God. He was a good man, but that's all he was. All come from that lie. Amen. And then you have the Sadducees. A group that come up in the Bible that spread propaganda that denounced the resurrection. And it flowed all the way through the beginning of the church age. Paul, the apostle, was preaching at Mars Hill, and he preached about the resurrection, and the Bible said many mocked that. Acts 17:32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. All of that come from one lie. And it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's millions upon millions in this world today rejecting Christ, not seeing Him as the Son of God, God incarnate, the one that gave His life for their life and died and was buried and rose the third day and is sitting down at the right hand of the Father making intercession for Him. They denounce it because Satan has planted that lie in their heart. He's planted that lie in their heart. Now, you can go with me if you want to. I'm going to 1 Corinthians 15 for the remainder of the message, and I'll be finished. The people of Corinth, there's some, even in the church, there's some that had a problem believing what? The resurrection. No doubt. It all come from one lie. Of course, it's added to. We got a good crowd here today. If I started with Brother Andrew and whisper something in his ear and it went all the way down, all the way up, all the way, I guarantee you, by the time it got to our dear brother right here, it'd be a totally different tale. Not anybody's trying to lie, but we hear what we want to hear sometimes. We see what we want to see sometimes, and then it gets all the way around, and bam, that one lie, it just got bigger, and then a little bit added here, and some added there, and some added here, and some added there. And now, in the church age, in the church of Corinth, some were confused, and some were trying to deny the resurrection, and it all come from one place. And Paul begins to talk about hypothetically, in this book, if there be no resurrection. He said, think about it. If there be no resurrection, here's what we lose. Now, in of course, in verse number 1, we have the scripture and the surety of the resurrection. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. See, let them know the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. He goes on to tell them that. Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He said, you were saved by it, and you stand upon it. He said, wherein you stand, which also you are saved. You are saved by what? The gospel. You're not saved any other way. Paul's telling him, he said, we stand on the gospel because that's what saved us. That's what rescued our soul from hell. It's the gospel. The power of the gospel. Hey, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God into salvation. Without the gospel, we can't be saved. I'll probably repeat this. If there be no gospel, we are all in our sin. There's no hope for salvation. Amen. Folks, it doesn't matter. You preach, I believe this, I believe the other, I believe something else. Hey, the gospel is the only thing that saves. Amen. Christ died, he was buried, he rose again. That's the gospel. He took our sin to the cross, took our place, took our shame, took our pain, took our penalty on the cross of Christ. Amen. And he died and was buried and rose again the third day. He took it all. He took every bit of it. So, if everything we've heard about the resurrection is a lie, then the prophecies of the Bible were a lie. Psalm 16:10, the Bible says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's the prophecy of Christ. Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He got up. The New Testament prophecies, Matthew 12:40, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 20, verse 17, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. If there be no resurrection, and I could read more, if there be no resurrection, all the prophecies of the resurrection, everything that was foretold to us that was coming, it was all a lie. If there be no resurrection, the prophecies are a lie. And get this, if there be no resurrection, all the preaching you've heard is a lie. Paul said this in chapter 15, verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Not only that, your faith is also vain. Yea, listen, and we are found false witnesses because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Folks, can you imagine, okay, let's take the prophets that foretold. We're going to call that preaching. All the preaching in the Gospels. All the preaching in the church epistles, all the preaching since Christ died and buried, all the preaching, folks, you imagine all the preaching on this subject that's been done over 2,000 years, all around the world. There's been a gazillion and a half sermons preached on the resurrection since then. Hey, if there be no resurrection, all that's a lie. Every bit of that's a lie. I mean, there's a lot of prophecy and a lot of preaching being done in a lot of years, and it's just been a lie. There'd be no resurrection. Are you telling me that we've been wrong all these years? Paul told him, said, it's through the gospel you were saved and where you stand. Hey, get this. If there be no resurrection, then the prophecy is a lie, the preaching is a lie. And get this, not only that, hey, we're all lost. Ain't a soul here going to heaven. Look at verse 14 again. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Listen, ye are yet in your sins. If there be no resurrection, our faith is vain, and we are yet in our sins. Everybody here is going to hell if there be no resurrection. That's right. If there be no resurrection, nobody here is going to heaven, from me to you. Let me read you some verses. Romans 5:23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Romans 4:24. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. I like this one, Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, what? That God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, hey, if you confess with your mouth the Lord, I confess him. He came and died for me. And then in your heart, no, he raised from the dead. Then you can get saved. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So if there be no resurrection, get this. It means our sins have never been forgiven. It means our prayers have never been heard nor answered. It means that the change that takes place in us when the Spirit of God come in is all fake. That means the joy and the peace in your heart is imaginary. It's not real. That means that strength you draw from in the Scriptures, it's all in your head. Paul said, if there be no resurrection, we're doomed. We're doomed. Folks, I don't know about you, but I don't believe I'm doomed. I believe the Bible. It's the final authority for faith and practice. The Bible said Jesus came. Folks, this ain't Christmas. But folks, we couldn't have resurrection without Christmas. He was born through a virgin's womb. Amen. God sent God, a miraculous birth, conceived of the Holy Spirit. Walked 33 and a half years on this earth. Did not sin, could not sin. He had no carnal nature. I don't care what movie they put out. Come on. I promise you, if you get in your Bible theology from The Chosen, you're in trouble. And that's all I got to say about that. But anyway, he was God incarnate without sin. 33 and a half years upon this earth, doing miracles, signs, and wonders, proving the Jews required a sign who he was. And he came into his own received him not. That's when we got in, but as many as received him. And he, when the fullness of time was come, he went to the cross. With perfect blood. Right. Sinless blood. Right. Without spot, without blemish. Right. And he hung on a cross. And the Lord cut the lights off. It was darkness over the face of the earth. It wasn't an eclipse. God just shut it down. The sun, the stars, the moon, shut down. He gave his life. He became sin. His father had to turn his back on him. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is say, my God, why is that forsaken me? Hey, had to tell you, he died on the cross alone. Paid a debt he didn't know, a debt we couldn't pay, and he died. He gave up the ghost. And they took him off the cross and they put him in a borrowed tomb. And in 3 days and in 3 nights, I said this, I think, Wednesday night. You can't get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday to Sunday. Amen. I'm thankful you got a day off Friday, but that wasn't the day Jesus died. I mean, I had this, the post, and I deleted it. I said, if you believe you can get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday to Sunday, Marvin Beach wasn't your math teacher in high school at Landrum. Amen. But we know 3 days and 3 nights. And on the first day of the week, Sunday, he resurrected. That debt was paid. And folks, I'm saved because of the gospel. I'm going to heaven because of the gospel. I'm sealed by the Spirit of God because of the gospel. I am what I am because of the gospel. Get this, if there be no resurrection, our fathers and forefathers are lost. Yesterday, I got the old Camaro out and took it for a ride. And after I had to jump it off, that ain't no lie. Battery was dead. Just knocked the rug out some of y'all, didn't I? But anyway, I went down to Roselawn Cemetery where my parents are buried and where most of my families are families buried. I got Turners and Burrows all over the place. I walked down there to my parents' grave. He said, "Preacher, how often do you go down there?" 2 or 3 times a year. Now, there's nothing wrong if you go every day. He said, "Do you not love your parents?" Sure did. They're here. They're there. And they're not there. Amen. That corruptible body's there. And it just went back to the dust from which it was made. But I went over there and I walked down there to the grave and I talked to him a little bit. You say, you know that better. Hey, leave me alone. I know they're not God. I know they're not worried about me in heaven. Amen. And by the way, folks, and I know people mean well by this, but when your loved one dies, they don't become angels. Hey. I'd rather be a child of God than an angel any day. We don't turn into angels. We're God's children. Children going home. Amen. We're better than the angels. Jesus didn't die for angels. He died for us. My mom and dad, when they died, they didn't get their angels' wings. Amen. They got put right in the presence of Jesus, what they got. Boy, I'm just tearing y'all's theology all to pieces this morning. Making y'all mad and all kind of stuff. I'm down there. I'm just talking. And I guess it being Saturday before Easter and a lot of people was there doing things. And usually there's nobody there. When I pop in, there's nobody there. Maybe another car somewhere. But I look at it and then I just walk a few down. I got Turners all around there, and then in the middle, my grandparents, and then on the other ends, the Burrows, and you know, I walked around there, and not one time, Billy, did I get a hopeless feeling. No. Not one time did I feel like I was in despair. Oh, yeah. Not once. Oh, I miss my family that's gone on, but never did I get a feeling like, I'll never see them again. But folks, that's a bad feeling. That's why the greatest thing you leave behind your family is a testimony of your salvation so they can have that peace. I've done funerals, Brother Paul, and you have too. We don't have a clue. But I've done a lot, buddy. They've left that assurance to that family. There's a difference.
Yeah.
I didn't go down there and like, oh my word. No, oh yeah. If I had my pick, my mom and dad would still be living. If I had my choice. If I had my choice, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, nobody be dead in my family. But there's an appointment they had to make, and I got to make it. But they died in Christ. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Christ is the first fruits of them that sleep. If the first fruits come up, the rest of them come up. Jesus got up. They getting up. That corruptible will put on incorruption. That mortal put on immortality. Hey, that soul and spirit to get hooked up with a new body somewhere in the air. And I walked away saying there's hope because of the resurrection of Christ. There's hope because of the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
That's why, somebody that's saved, got a good testimony, when they pass away, that's why you can go around the receiving of friends' time and hear people laughing and talking. They're not being disrespectful to the dead. It's just there's peace there. They know there's hope. They're gone for now, but not forever. Christ went for a little while, but He come back. He got up, and He's coming back again. And them that sleep in Jesus will He bring with Him, all because of the resurrection. All because of the resurrection. Folks, you understand? Do you understand that if you want this blessed hope in your heart, this peace that passeth knowledge, what you see folks amening about today, and it'll take you believing and trusting the gospel.
Right.
Repentance toward God. Folks, I read a verse of scripture over there where they said they turn from idols to God. That's repentance. They turn from, turn to, and believe the gospel and got saved. That's what you need to do. Turn from yourself. Turn from your sin. Turn from whatever it is. Turn to and turn to God. From and turn to God and call on Him. He'll give you the faith to believe the gospel. You trust Him. You call on Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All because of the gospel. All because of the resurrection of Christ. I'm glad I know Him today. I'm glad I serve. Get this. Not only is our fathers and forefathers gone, but our future is lost. Get this. Verse 19. If in this life only we had hope in Christ, we'd be men most miserable. Where's our future if there be no resurrection? There is none. There is none. But we got a hope that's steadfast and sure. Let's all stand. Miss Courtney's coming. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking on but me and the Lord.